On today's episode, we speak with the creator himself, learn about how this game got started, and find out what's on the horizon for Star Wars 5e. Hello, and welcome to Dungeon Jedi Masters, a podcast discussing everything Star Wars 5e. My name is Todd, I've got Tegan here, and we're looking forward to jumping into hyperspace with you. Let's go! Hello everyone, welcome to Dungeon Jedi Masters, episode number 11. Kind of a special episode today. We have the Grand Master himself here, Gallifile, aka Steve Palpatine. Steve, welcome. How are you doing today?
Good. Haven't done any work, despite getting paid, so, you know, that's not the worst.
Yeah, not a bad thing. And Tegan, hello to you, and happy birthday.
Thanks, man. Yeah, living the dream, getting paid, not really doing much, so definitely living it up, Gally.
I am not in your guys' boat, unfortunately, but I've got this wonderful game in front of us to keep me busy, so that's definitely good. So today we wanted to just have a chat with Steve and get his thoughts on the game that he's brought to us, and just see what else is out there in the future for Star Wars 5e. So, you know, I'll kick it off. Again, welcome, Steve. Tell us how you got started with this project.
So the very, very, very first version was about 5 years ago, 5 years and change now, I think, at this point. I had a playgroup back home, and we had just finished up the Lost Mines of Phandelver. And so I offered to, this was such a terrible, terrible idea on my part. I offered to essentially port the 5e rules to Star Wars and do a Star Wars campaign for them. So I spent about a month banging out four classes, and they were, all of the work I did at the very first iteration was exceptionally bad. But we played a campaign for about 6 months and everybody had fun. So
nice. Any of those classes still being used, or do you kind of rework everything?
So it was originally Fighter and Rogue were basically the same. It was still called Rogue then. Subclasses were different. Paladin was still Guardian, and then there was one more class, probably called Consular, that was just less elegant. I actually still have all the documents. They're kind of funny to look at and laugh. Yeah,
I'm sure plenty has evolved since those original days.
Yeah, well, like the very first iteration 5 years ago was real bad, and then I didn't really touch it for a while. And then when I started my current job, I had a bunch of idle time at work, so I started working on it again in force. And then I released the first version of the player handbook publicly June 20th, give or take, 2018. So it's coming up on 2 years.
Awesome. That's a pretty cool milestone for sure.
I know it's changed a lot because I started playing it about actually almost a year ago exactly now. And even the classes have changed and upgraded a lot just in kind of the time I've been playing. I've never actually looked at the old school documents from 2 years ago.
Well, yeah, you started about a year ago. So Scout and Sentinel had pretty major overhauls in that time. I think that's probably it. Scholar got reworked. Scholar was a class written by somebody else on Reddit on Unearthed Arcana, and I just asked them if I could use it, and they were fine with it. So we played that for a while, and then that got nerfed quite a bit because the original version was insane.
Yeah, I remember Sentinel used to be pretty powerful. Or it's still pretty, really powerful, but I think before it was like pretty crazy everything they could do before kind of the reworks came through.
Yeah, I mean, it was literally just Monk plus casting, so it was just insane.
With kind of all the different classes that you've worked on and kind of developed over, are there any that kind of stand out to you, any that kind of you lean towards as your player is a favorite of your own?
So I don't play. I'm a forever DM. My favorite class is definitely Scholar, though. I think it's just such a unique niche, and it actually works pretty well in traditional 5e. A lot of the archetypes don't because it's very Star Warsy, but that's honestly my favorite class.
Yeah, it's a pretty fun one, just from playing next to it. I haven't delved in myself. Tegan, in the game that you DM that I'm in, we have another player who's a scholar. And yeah, they are just all over on the battlefield helping things out. So a lot of versatility there. Probably be something I'd check out in the future in another game I'd play. But yeah, I can understand how that'd be a favorite choice.
That's definitely the big one I haven't played yet. I need to make a class for that. Because the guy that plays in my game is just, he's pretty clutch. Like, he can do a lot of different things and the multiple reactions. There's just a lot he can do to kind of change the flow of the battle.
Steve, what's been the greatest challenge that you've had with developing the system?
Well, specifically on the developing side is kind of, I don't want to say consistency. That's not really right. So it's just evolved. So a lot of things I thought were a good idea a year or 2 years ago don't seem like a good idea anymore. And so it's you know, I guess the hardest part right now, of course, is I finalized the player handbook a year ago, and yet I updated it last week. So, like, that's pretty frustrating.
Yeah, quote unquote finalized. So.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I printed my version that very first, like, beginning of July. So that very first run is what I have for my printed version. And, of course, a third of the pages in that are obsolete now.
Definitely an aspect of the evolving system. I think, you know, just paying attention to everything on the subreddit and the Discord, I'd say the changes are definitely worthwhile changes. They make the game, they've improved the game, definitely. It's not just been changes for the sake of change. So I think, you know, that can be understood with that.
Definitely. What's one thing, especially because it's getting a lot more popular, you're seeing a lot more people coming to both the Discord and the subreddits. What's something that you wish a lot of the newcomers would know just about the system or even just the development process for getting SW5E up and running?
Really what I want them to know is how to find the content on their own. I know that this is a touchy subject on the Discord in particular, but there's a lot of lacking in the trying department. People tend to ask questions before reading, and so that can get a little bit frustrating on my end. But I mean, for the most part, if you know coming into this, if you read the preface in the beginning of the player handbook and you know how to play 5e, you could jump in and play inside of 30 minutes, which is my goal, which was the whole point, is to make it as accessible as possible.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I've seen that with players or with people that know 5e, they do jump into it pretty well. Myself, personally, I think I had, I don't know, a few weeks or so of sessions under the traditional 5e system, and then came over to Tegan's game, and it was still all new to me. And I've actually, because a lot of times at a table, Tegan, obviously you know this, is as players play Star Wars 5e, like, oh, that spell is explosion, or that spell is this, you know, they compare to the traditional 5e. And myself, I've learned Star Wars 5e better than I know traditional 5e. So I kind of in reverse, it's pretty funny. So, you know, we had a few little changes to the player's handbook recently. We can touch on that next and then, you know, talk about plans beyond that. So tell us about those recent updates to the handbook, Steve.
So there are some minor things. The most significant one really is kind of a ripple change, is that the way that Tracker Droid interface, which is literally just Find Familiar, you know, it's adapted to Star Wars, et cetera. But one of the big fixes for Find Familiar in traditional 5e was to just have the familiar move on your turn. And so that's something I decided to adopt for this, you know, in the past month or so. And then I also adopted that rule for all of the pet classes, which currently was just Astrotech Engineer, Zoologist, Scholar, and then to a lesser extent, Artillerist, Technique, Scout. And so I adapted that rule over for those classes, or for those archetypes rather. And then from there, I've wanted to update Saboteur for a while because a lot of the features, which of course it's based on Arcane Trickster, which uses Mage Hand, but a lot of those features don't actually translate and hang over well. So I decided that this would be a fun time to adapt that archetype to be the third caster, tech caster for operatives, to keep that, but also really emphasize the whole relationship with that tracker droid more. So I banged out a page page and a half of more Droid upgrades specifically for that. And you know, I'm pretty happy with how that archetype sits now. Beyond those changes with the pet rules, there's some minor stuff with engineer. On top of the pet changes as well, the ability score improvements were clarified. And then the starting standard array previously had odd numbers, which works well for players because they get their ability score improvements from their class. That didn't really make sense for the pet classes because they don't get those. So I rounded all those off. So that's pretty much it for the pet stuff. And then, yeah, some minor class modifications. I added some more instruments because I got bored. You know, some basic clarifications on rules that people had a lot of questions on. I added a new feat with this release called Forceful Vigor, which was literally just the intent to mirror the two other feats that allow you to substitute a saving throw ability. And then a couple other minor changes to feats. And then the most significant one is the Brawling Fighting Style and the Brawling Mastery feat both got polished and updated to be a little more engaging and a little more worthwhile for people.
And I definitely love that new Saboteur rework. Actually, I had a one shot that I did. Was it last week or last 2 weeks? Actually, I had a player play that new updated class, and it comes through well. And there's a lot of cool. Like the Tracker Droid was actually pretty clutch in the mission. It actually got him through a lot of areas they probably would have struggled with without having that in there. So it's a fun class, and a lot of versatility you can kind of bring to it.
Steve, what do we have next? We've got, there's, I believe, three other books. We've got Starships of the Galaxy, which is going to be our space combat and Starship-focused rulebook. You've got The Scum and Villainy, which will be basically the Star Wars 5e Monster Manual, and then The Wretched Hives, which is a good just expansion rule set for the enhanced modifications, downtime rules, a lot of good stuff in there. So on any of those, all or just some of them, what's on the horizon for those?
So the basic goal is to work on a 6-week cadence, give or take, to update each of the three, let's call them splat books, the non-PHB books. So every 6 weeks, update one of those. And then additionally, I'll update the player handbook as well with any things like typo fixes or other, you know, changes of this nature. So right now I'm coming back around to Starships of the Galaxy. So we're going to work on that. There'll probably be some cost adjustments made to, I know one major complaint is the upper tier costs for ships are prohibitive. So we might roll a little bit of that back. I've got some new ventures written already, and I'm going to do more of that. We'll do some more modifications. We want to get the calculations for encounters done, which is done. It's tentatively done in the same method as building encounters for the ground, where you use challenge rating for ships. It's called ship rating, just to deviate a little bit, but otherwise it's generated the same way. The difference being that challenge rating compares to player character level. In this, it's going to be your ship has a ship rating and then the enemy ship has a ship rating. And that's how you compare and build the encounters, which sounds kind of convoluted, but it'll make more sense on paper. And then from there, also, we want to get some of the Starship stat blocks written up to present in the book so I can get an appendix of those. So that's the big major stuff. Deployments are pretty good. Modifications could use some, you know, some touching up, some new additions and new ventures. That's pretty much all I'm looking at right now for Starships. And then on Wretched Hives, I'm still really just trying to fill up the appendix of enhanced items. So I kind of do that idly over time. And then I need to finish the rules for faction ability scores, which is kind of on the back burner right now. And then alongside all of this, I'm adapting monsters from predominantly from the Codex for Scum and Villainy to fill that book up. I do those a few at a time. And so that book, while technically in the cadence, will get an update whenever I finish type of deal rather than a target date. And then beyond all three of these books, of course, in the background, I've got a fourth book I'm kind of idly playing with for people that want to build their own strongholds called Galactic Strongholds, of course. And then that's rules essentially for how to build a city, how to maintain a city, and how to ideally run mass combat.
Yeah, that'll be an exciting addition for sure. I'm sure there's a lot of groups out there that enjoy that aspect. Would you see, you know, that probably would align pretty well with the factions and whatnot, you'd think?
Yeah, so the intent will be that factions, because you don't have to own your own city to be in a faction, that's why they'll be maintained in separate books. However, there will be synergy between the two. You know, certain stronghold upgrades, certain buildings that synergize with a specific faction will offer bonuses to faction activities. The goal is for the books to work well together, but not be interdependent. So if you don't want to run factions, but you do want to run strongholds, you just ignore that part of the book and it works fine.
Yeah, that's a good, that's been carefully handled, I think, across the rules. If somebody doesn't want to use the enhanced items aspect of the rules, they don't have to, and it doesn't affect the game. You still have those core rules, and your game can go on as normal. So
I'm looking forward to those mass battle rules. I'm actually, in one of my campaigns, I've got something coming up that's going to be a little bit of an invasion arc. So I'm trying to kind of cobble together some rules. So that'd be kind of cool once we have some official ones in there, too.
Yeah, it's a ways out, though.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Lots of good stuff in the meantime. So, well, I think we've got all our initial questions that we thought of at first. Tegan, anything else you can think of?
Those are the big questions. Definitely a great job, Gally, on just kind of making the system, get everything up and running, and dealing with a lot of the newcomers like Todd and I were initially, and getting them up and running and into the system. Definitely a good way to really kind of bring Star Wars to a system that everybody knows how to play. Everybody knows 5e. So just really kind of an open and accessible system. So you've done a great job of getting that up and going.
I'm glad to hear it. That was the goal.
Yeah, I think you've achieved that very well. Any last thoughts from you yourself, Steve?
No, nothing I got.
All right. Well, again, yes, we thank you for bringing this system to everybody. And thanks for being on the podcast today and sharing a little bit about your background with bringing this up and what we have coming in the future. So hopefully we'll probably look next time we have a major update out there, probably have you on again, and we can kind of do this again to go through what those changes are. All right, well, that was our interview with our Grandmaster, Steve. Again, it was awesome to have him on here. Hope that gives all of you out there insight into the man behind this great system here that we all enjoy. Get into our announcements now at the end of the episode that we want to touch on, some new content updates, things like that. First off, content-wise for Dungeon Jedi Masters, we do have a new series out on YouTube, getting started. The first video went out last week, time of listening to this podcast. So it's going to be our Dungeon Jedi Master Basics series, and we are going to go literally through the basics of this game. If you are brand new to 5e in general, this series will be for you. Our first video we did was choosing ability scores. So we're going to show you four different ways that you can choose your ability score when you're creating your character. And if you're a DM, we'll give you a little tips and ideas on reasons to use one option versus the other. So this video is going to help out both player and DM. So keep an eye out for that. And then as usual, check out our Twitter, check out our Twitch channels, and if you'd like to support us, hit us up on Patreon. Shout out to our two Patreons that we have out there right now. Thank you very much. I hope you guys are enjoying that content we're dropping for you. And of course, DungeonJediMasters.com will get you to all of these areas of our content. We do have one new release for the Star Wars 5e system, a new archetype. Tegan, go ahead and tell us about that.
Definitely. So that's a new Berserker class that's come out. It's called the Brawling Approach. So this is going to be a great way if you want your Berserker just not to, almost kind of a monk Berserker type. If you don't want them to be able to rely on a weapon, just be able to use their fist and just cleave through or knock things out, this is going to be a great way to do so. Similar to a monk, you know, it increases your unarmed damage dies at the third level when you get their archetype, and there's some cool stuff you can do with it. So definitely check it out. This is a fun one, especially if you wanted to do kind of a monk berserker hybrid without having a multi-class. This is the way to go.
Yeah, very cool option there. They use I think it's K2SO is the droid from Rogue One, and kind of gets a vibe from him punching through doors and things. So thought that's a good fit there. I think that's about it. I will mention, actually, Tegan, you've got a video coming up if you want to mention that.
Definitely. So that should be posted. So you it'll already be posted by the time this podcast is up, most likely this weekend, so the weekend of the 17th. But basically what I wanted to do is one thing I've seen on the Discord and just on the subreddit a lot is people asking kind of what should I base my campaign around, or what are some cool things to kind of have as a goal for my campaign. And I was just looking through, and I'm going to be including kind of a grouping of items or people or just kind of things that are prevalent across all eras that you can go after and have a part of your campaign. So they're going to be kind of Star Wars MacGuffins or just powerful items or powerful relics that could really kind of change the tide of the galaxy and be a perfect starting point for your campaign. So I'm going to have that posted and just kind of go through. And the cool thing, too, is I'm more of a Legends guy myself, but I am going to include some canon items as well. So it's going to be kind of a mix between Legends and canon. So it should be a good fit for any campaign and kind of a good starting point for a DM looking for what you want to focus his campaign around.
Yeah, that'll be great. Personally, you know, I think I'll enjoy that. I think world building and campaign setting building is a big thing out there. We do see a lot of requests for that, so I'm sure that will be well received. Looking forward to it. Again, thanks everyone for listening, subscribing, and following DungeonJediMasters.com. Check us out, all our different content there. And of course, may the Force be with you.
Thank you, guys. May the Force be with you.